Okay, good afternoon. Welcome to the afternoon call here at BRS. We are in the Mishnah on Chavdala Man Aleph, Amar Lo Neman Alai Abba. Just to quickly review what we saw last week, and then we're going to advance the discussion. Last week we saw the Mishnah talked once again about Dini Mamonos. There is a financial litigation, a monetary litigation between two parties. One feels aggrieved, the other one feels like he didn't do anything wrong. That's generally how it goes, and given that they are in conflict with one another, so you go to Beis Din, and Beis Din is going to resolve the issue. Okay, that part I think we all knew already. You go to Beis Din, and let's say in terms of the construction of the Beis Din, so the Mishnah describes how we accept either my father, your father, as one of the members of Beis Din. So obviously that doesn't work. My father or your father are krovim; they're related. They're apostle edus. They cannot testify, and they cannot serve as a judge in the case. The Rambam writes. We spoke about this Rambam before. The Rambam says that when you talk about a krov, it's not the pshat that he's biased. It's not the pshat that he has a special affinity. The Torah just simply passes krovim. The Torah just does not allow a relative to serve as either a witness or as a judge. Anyway, but look, you know my father. I know your father. They're really excellent people. Can we make a concession, and can we allow either my father or your father to be part of the Beis Din? So we agree. And the Mishnah goes on to describe what would be the halacha if we agree to such terms. So the Mishnah brought down a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir. The Tanakhama says that once I agree, Neman alai Abba, Neman alai Avicha, Neman alai Gimel Roi Bakar, doesn't matter if I accept my father, your father, or even if they're cattle herders, Bezman HaGemara, we're not the most scrupulous of people. They really are not people that are normally fit to serve as a judge, but we accept it. We're Mekaba. So the Mishnah brings down a machlokas between the Tanayim. Rav Meir is of the opinion Yachol Achzabo, that you could be chozer, that you can retract. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, even though initially I agreed, but according to Rav Meir, the agreement is not a binding agreement. And if at any point in time I want to retract, I can retract. Ad kan divrei Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim say no. Chachamim say, once you agree to terms, so ain't no Yachol Achzabo, you cannot be chozer. The Mishnah then brought in another scenario in which one person's chayv, another is shvua, and a concession was made. We're not going to make a formal shvua holding a sefer Torah using Shem Hashem, but we'll make an informal shvua. And there was an agreement that we're going to make an informal shvua. And then again, the same issue comes up. Can I back out from that agreement? So again, machlok is between Rameir and the Chachamim. Ad kan divrei HaMishnah. That was just a review of the Mishnah. Then we saw last week the Gemara. I'm sorry, yeah, Phil.
Does that work only with one? That says your father, my father. How about if you say your father and my father?
Okay. Two out of the three. Well, so good. So last week we talked. So it's okay. So like the Gemara brought in a halacha by Rav Dimi, and the Rav Dimi halacha was that this only works if your father or my father serves as one of three. Meaning there are three dayanim, two of them are kosher, and one of them is either my father or your father. Then and only then the halacha is going to work. Okay, what was the big question mark that we dealt with last week? The big question mark was when Rav Dimi was saying this, was he saying this within Shitas, Rabbi Meir, or was he saying it within Shitas, the Chachamim? Oddly enough, the Gemara doesn't tell us. The Gemara just simply quotes Rav Dimi, but not giving us the attribution of whether or not it was a halacha within Rabbi Meir or the halacha within the Chachamim. And this then turned into a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. We saw this last week. Rashi was of the opinion that he was saying this halacha within the shita of Rav Meir, meaning Rav Meir allows you to retract. The ability for Rav Meir for an allowance to retract is going to be even in a case where the dayanim are basically good dayanim, and you can and nevertheless you have the ability to retract. That is Rashi on the Mishnah. That was Rashi on the. I'm sorry, Rashi, the first Rashi on the Gemara. Tosfos quoted Rashi, and Tosfos said, cannot be that Rav Dimi is going within the Shita of Rabbi Meir. First of all, Tosfos points out it doesn't fit into the Lashon HaGemara. The Lashon of the Gemara, when Rav Dimi's position was introduced, he said, Kigon, right? Kigon. According to Rashi, it's not Kigon. According to Rashi, we're saying a Chiddush. So what does that mean, Kigon? So according to Tosfos, this statement of Rav Dimi was going in the Chachamim, not within Rav Meir. And that means, according to Tosfos, what does the Chachamim say? Eino Yachol Achzabo. Eino Yachol Achzabo, you can't retract. Tosos then says the following, but according to Tosos, if let's say you have Tartila Reusa, right? We did this last week. If you have, let's say, a double whammy, what's a double whammy? Number one of the judges is my father. Number two, we don't even have three judges. We made a really big concession. And what was our big concession? That my father will basically be the judge for everything. He'll be the one judge, and he'll judge by himself. So if you have what Tosos calls it a Tartila Reusa. We'll call it, from this point going forward, a really big concession. Okay, because, you know, the terminology that you only get here. So you made a really big concession. So Tosa says, even according to the Chachamim, you can be Chozer. Then in that case, the Chachamim would agree to our mayor that you could be Chozer. Now last week, what did we say? We said a pshat in terms of a svara, in terms of understanding the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. And really what we suggested last week, which we're going to continue this week, is basically the following. According to Rashi's understanding, what's the nekud over here of the Mishnah? The point, in other words, we're going to focus right now just simply on the sheet of the Chachamim. That's the halacha, the Chachamim. But according to Rashi, what's the nekud of the Mishnah and that of Rav Dimi is that if you make a concession, that's it. It's binding. The concession is binding. And even though, what are we talking about now as the judge? We're talking about a karov as a judge. We're talking about my father serving as a judge. And furthermore, even if he's not three, even if it's one, but you know what? It's a concession. What the way we described it last week, according to Rashi, the critical issue over here is conflict resolution. You and I are at odds with one another. We need this issue resolved. Again, we would go to Beis Din, but you know what? We don't have to go to Beis Din. You like my father? I like my father. You like my father? Good. He'll serve as basically the judge. I mean, the word judge here we're going to use really loosely. It's just simply, he's going to be the vehicle in which we're going to have conflict resolution. That's according to Rashi. What do we say according to Tosfos? No. Tosfos says, Tarte L'Reusa. Tosfos makes a distinction between a big concession versus a little concession. Why is there such a distinction? So what we said last week within Shitas Tosfos is that Tosfos says that you still need a tsura of a Beis Din. It needs to look like a Beis Din. If it's not three people, it doesn't look like a Beis Din. It needs to have the tzur of a Beis Din. Why? Because Tosfos is arguing that when all said and done, we need to go to Beis Din. And even if Beis Din is not a classic traditional Beis Din, meaning i.e., instead of being the three objective judges, one of them is my father. Okay, but that's a small concession. And it still has the tzura of a Beis Din. But according to Tosfos, once you have Tarta L'Reusa, once you're making a big concession, it's not a Beis Din. And if it's not a Beis Din, so then I can back out. In other words, we're not going to Beis Din. We're going to, you know, arbitration. Yeah, we're going to arbitration. And you know what? I don't like what I'm hearing right now. I don't like how it's going. I don't think his thought is clear. I'm backing out. So according to Tosfos, the way he understands Rav Dimi, when the Chachamim says that you can't back out, you can only not back out if it has the tsura of a Beis Din. That's how we explained the Machlokas last week. We pointed out last week that the Mechaber and the Ramah argue on this very point, meaning last week we quoted the Rambam. The Rambam says that once you make a concession, you're bound by the concession. The Rambam says even if it's one judge, but we agree that one judge is going to be good, we're bound by that concession. That was the Rambam Shita, the Mechaber passing like the Rambam, and the Ramah passing like Tosfos. So what you have over here is a basic machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. If let's say we make a concession that we're going to go to one judge, according to the Mechaber, who passes like the Rambam, who also ostensibly Rashi agrees with this as well, is that once we agree to terms, that's it. It doesn't have to have the tsura of a Beis Din. If we agree that we're going to go to somebody, that's it. We're bound by that agreement. Masha Einkein, according to the Balei Atosos, according to the Ramah, it still has to have the tsura of a Beis Din. If it does not have the tsura of a Beis Din, so then we can be chozer at any point in time. Okay? Adkan, that's what we saw last week. That was a quick recap of the... Of our discussion from last week. Last week, I'm not going to go over this now, but last week I quoted a Minchas Chinuch, I quoted a couple of Minchas Chinuchs. This machlokas as to whether or not he needs to have its tsura of a Beis Din may touch on a number of other issues we talked about last week through the Minchas Chinuch. Okay, Chazara. Good. Let's move on. Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go weiter in the Gemara. So follow together with me. I'm going to take us now from Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, which is the second line of the Gemara in Chavdal Amud Aleph. And I'm going to take us just simple pshat in the Gemara all the way to the next Mishnah. This will take about 10 to 15 minutes. We're going to basically familiarize ourselves with a couple of possible variables within this halakha of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Machlokes b'Machulach. Okay, we have a debate in our Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Remember, Rav Meir says you can retract. The Chachamim say you cannot retract. What Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel now is saying that this Machlokes in the Mishnah is only when the issue is Mechila. The issue of Mechila, again, there's two parties involved in a dispute. One says, you owe me money. The other one says, no, I do not owe you money. Okay. So now, one of two things is going to result from this court case, or this arbitration, whatever you want to call it. Either somebody's going to take money out of his pocket to pay the other person, that's one outcome, or the other outcome is, no, you don't owe me the money. Basically, those are the two possibilities. So, in our Mishnah, there's a debate whether or not you can retract. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, the whole debate is only by Mechila. But let's say Etein Lecha. Etein Lecha means that the ruling came down, not that, I forgive you. In other words, I think you owed me money, you don't owe me money. That's one possible outcome. The other possible outcome is, you have to pay him. Meaning we think that he in fact does owe you the money. You're going to have to pay him. That's what's called etein lecha. So by etein lecha, you can be chozer. Now intuitively we all understand the difference. I'll spell it out. Meaning by mechila, what is mechila basically saying? No money is moving. The money stays where the money is right now. So you already have now what's called the chazaka. And so now there's a debate whether or not you can retract or you cannot retract. But by etein lecha, now I got to take money out of my pocket in order to give to you. Or now we're moving money from one person to another person. So here, right, that requires a maisa beis din. So if I want to retract, so Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says under those circumstances, everyone would agree, both Rav Meir and the Chacham and the Mishnah would agree, under those circumstances you could for sure retract. Rav Yochanan Amar Be'etein Lecha Machlokes, and Rav Yochanan disagrees. He says no, that the Machlokes in the Mishnah is even in the case of Etein Lecha. Yibai Lehu, the Gemara asks the question, Be'etein Lecha Machlokes, Val B'machu Lecha Divrei HaKol and Yochel Lachzor Bo, a clarification within the sheet of Rav Yochanan. Are we arguing just in the case of Etein, or are we also arguing in the case of Machl? Odoma Be'imazu, Be'imazu Machlokes, Tashma, the Gemara says, how about this? Tamar Rava Machlokes Be'etein Lecha. Rav is of the opinion that the whole debate in our Mishnah is Etein Lecha. We're based in, or not based in, right? The arbitrating body decided that you have to pay him. That's where there's a debate.
Instead of him paying, I have to pay him.
Whatever. No. In other words, again, the two outcomes are either you have to pay or you don't have to pay. Those are your two outcomes. So in the circumstance be'etein lecha where you have to pay, so there you have a debate in the Mishnah. But if it's mechila, then everyone's in agreement that you cannot be chozer because no money is being transferred. So now, if Rav Yochanan says that the debate in the Mishnah is only in the case of Etein, but by Machalacha there's no debate, so then what we have now is an agreement in mind between Rava. Between Rav and Rav Yochanan. But if you're going to tell me that according to Rav Yochanan there's a debate both by Etein Lecha and Machul Lecha, so then Rav Adamer, come on. So then who is Rav's position following? Meaning it's not following Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, it's not following Rav Yochanan. Rav is saying now a third Shita, but the Gemara says, yeah, that could very well be. So Rav, time of the Nafshikamar, the Gemara says very simply, yes, it could be that there's a third Shita on this matter. Eitzve Rav Adabar Techlifa LaRav, the Gemara challenges based on the following. What did we learn in our Mishnah? Hayachayev L'chaver Shvo V'amar Lidor L'Bechay Roshcha. Rabbi Meir Omer Yachol Lachzabo V'chachamim Omerim En Yachol Lachzabo. So in the Mishnah we had the informal Shvua, where basically the Tohen says to the Nitan, you owe me money, and I feel like you're not paying me, and right now I want you to make a Shvua. Now, Aliba da'araisa, according to the strict letter of the law, according to the Torah, you can only make someone make a shvua so they don't have to pay you. Okay, that's the only way a shvua works in the Torah. Now, in this case over here, my love, ba'osan and ishmaim, v'lo mishalmim. So, da'havale kamachalacha. Now, in the event that you're making an informal shvua, what is resulting from making an informal shvua? No money is going to change hands. It means that I feel you owe me money. You know what? I'm okay with an informal shvua. It's a concession. And the result of that concession is all the money stays put. It's what we call machal lecha. It's analogous to making a mechila. And meanwhile, there's a debate in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. It sounds like there's a machlokas even by machal. So the Gemara says, "Davel kamachal lo, ba'ozan and ishpan benotlan davele ke'etain lecha." So the Gemara says, "Well, not necessarily," meaning that maybe the Mishnah is talking about making a shvua that would actually force somebody, compel somebody to pay you. There are a number of circumstances. You can see Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through it right now, but there are a number of circumstances where the Chachamim blocked, prevented somebody from making a shvua, turned the shvua around to the other towing. The other one's going to make a shvua, and that shvua then would be for the purposes of extracting money. So there are cases in the world of shvua where shvua is made to extract money. So the Gemara says, "Va'atan le'reisha." So the Gemara says, "Well, if that's true, so then I'm not following." There are two cases in the Mishnah. The first case in the Mishnah was, "We'll accept either my father or your father or three cattle herders to be the judge." The second case of the Mishnah was informal shvua. Why are there two cases in the Mishnah? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Tanatola bedas achem, tanatola bedas atzmo utzricha. Well, the cases in the Mishnah are fundamentally different in the following sense. In the case where I'm accepting either your father or my father as a judge, so who's going to decide the case? It's not going to be me. It's going to be the court, whatever the arbitrating body, whatever you want to call them, but it's going to be somebody else. That's what's called tola bedas acherim. Masha ein kein, if it's a question of shvua, making an informal shvua, who's going to be the determinant of whether I pay or I don't pay? It's going to be me, the litigant. So utzricha, and the Gemara goes on to explain, I need both of them. In the case of tola bedas acherim, it's in that case where Rameir says that you're going to be chozer mishum delo gamar makne, because if something is not within my hands, so I don't want to make a commitment and I'm not going to be in control. Damar miyema demezakile, I don't know what's going to happen. Right, you speak to anyone who's involved in a serious court case, the scariest part is, you're always going to find, is that uncertainty, the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. Your case could be the strongest case, but ultimately, when all said and done, it's not you who are going to make the decision, it's going to be the court making the decision. So there, in that case, the Gemara says, it's tola bedas acherim. So there I can understand that if we're not going to a court, if it's my dad or if it's your dad serving as one of the judges, there I can understand the idea to be chozer, according to Rameir. But if ultimately I'm the one determining what the result is going to be, so maybe that should be binding, even according to Reb Meir. And the argument obviously can go in the other direction. In the scenario where it's tola bedas atzmo, so there the Chachamim say you can't retract. But maybe they would agree that if we're going to court and the decision ultimately will be made by the Beis Din, so then maybe even the Chachamim would agree that you can retract. Okay. Adkan. So, quick summary of the first part of the Gemara. The first variable that the Gemara discussed is whether or not the Beis Din is ruling. And again, I keep saying Beis Din, but understand, it's a quasi Beis Din. It's a Beis Din made up of relatives and cattle herders. But if the Beis Din, not to compare, if the Beis Din is ruling either that the money stays put, otherwise known as mechila, versus money exchanging hands, so there's a machlokus amongst the Amoraim whether or not there exists such a distinction, such a difference between machol versus etain. Okay. Two, The Gemara goes on to discuss. Amar Reish Lakish. We are on Chavdal Amid Beis, and now they were up to the second variable. Machlokas Lefnei Gemar Din. I believe afterwards a number of people came over to me and asked me, would there be a difference after they issued their ruling? So, the Gemara, this is variable number two. According to Reish Lakish, the answer is there is a difference. And it's in, and I think this speaks to everybody here intuitively. Meaning, we made a concession, we're going to use them as our arbitration. And they did exactly what we asked them to do. They arbitrated. And they ruled. And now what are we going to do? You think Rameir now is going to tell you that now you can back out? After they went through all the trouble of listening, deliberating, and came to a ruling, and now Rameir is going to tell you you can back out? So Reish Lakish says, no. After the Gemar Din, you can't back away. Rav Yochanan Amar La'achar Gemar Din Machlokes. And Rav Yochanan says, no. After Gemar Din, there's going to be a Machlokes between Rameir and the Chachamim. So, Ibai Lo La'achar Gemar Din Machlokes. Aval Lefnei Gemar Din Devar Akol Yachol La'achzabo. O Dilma Be'mezu Machlokes. A very similar question to what the Gemara asked earlier. According to Rav Yochanan, does he think that there's a Machlokes only after Gemar Din? Or is there going to be a machlokas even after the Gemara Din? So Tashma, Dama Rava. So the Gemara says, we're going to quote Rava again, Kiba Alav Karav Apostle, if Nei Gemara Din, Yachol Achzabo. So Rava issued a following ruling, which is that before the Gemara Din, you can be Chozer, but La'achar Gemara Din, Eino Yachol Lachzabo. You cannot be Chozer after the Gemara Din. Now as Rashi points out over here, he's issuing a ruling. Now, no one's ruling like Rav Meir. Meaning, Rav Meir exists in the Mishnah as a Shita. But in terms of the halacha falls like the Chachamim. So at this point in time, we know that Rav is going in accordance with the Chachamim. So, Iyamart Bishlam Alacha, Gemar Demach Lokas, Avalif Ne, Gemar Din, Divakol Yachol Lachzabo, Rav Adamaka, Rav Yochanan. So now, if such a distinction exists, where before the Gemar Din you can retract, and after the Gemar Din you can't retract, so then that's very good. Rav is going like Rav Yochanan. So the Aliba de Rabbanan. And obviously we're following like the Shita of the Chachamim, and we have to be. Because right now we're in the world of Psak Halacha, and the Psak Halacha is going like the Chachamim. Ela I amart bein bazu machlokes. But if you want to tell me that there's a machlokes in both cases, both before and after the Gemara Din, Rav Adamar Kaman. Rav who's going to be holding like who? And as Rashi explains, the Gemara can't do now what it did earlier. Well, maybe Rav is a third Shita. No, Rav is not a third Shita on this issue. Because Rav is not stating an opinion, he's stating a halacha. And we know that within the world of halacha, we're only going to go like the Chachamim, we're not going to go like Rav Meir. So, El, Lav Shmamina, La'achar Gemara De Machlokish, Shmamina. So the Gemara says, fine. So the Gemara says that the Machlokis in the Mishnah is only after the Gemara Din, not before the Gemara Din. Before the Gemara Din, everyone's in agreement, even the Chachamim, that you can back out before the Gemara Din. Okay. And finally, Shalach Le Rav Nachman Bar Rav, Le Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, Yalam Din, Rav Ein, Lefnei Gemara Din Machlokis, O La'achar Gemara Din Machlokis, V'alachi Kedivrei Mi. So, the debate of the Mishnah of your ability to retract before or after the Gemara Din, and who do we follow? Shalach Le La'achar Gemara Din Machlokis, V'alachi Kedivrei Chachamim. So, the Machlokis in the Mishnah is only after the Gemara Din, and the Halacha falls like the Chachamim, exactly what we saw from Rav Yosef as well. Rav Ashi Amar Hachi Shachlei Be'etin Lecha Machlokis Abamachol Lecha Machlokis. Now according to Rav Ashi, that was not the exchange, that was not the give and take. It wasn't a question of whether it was Lefnei Gemar Din or Acher Gemar Din, but rather it was an issue of, do we say that the Machlokis is by Machol or by Etin? And V'alachi G'divrei Mi. And then on top of that, who does Allah Chafal like? Shachlei responds is Be'etin Lecha Machlokis. The Machlokis is by Etin, where the ruling of this arbitrating body is that money must be exchanged, meaning you owe him money. And V'alachi G'divrei Chachamim. And in fact, the Allah Chafal is like the Chachamim, which is that you can't retract. That's how they learned it in the yeshiva in Surah, in the yeshiva Pampadisa, they learned it as follows. Am Rabbi Chanina Bar Shamaya Shachulei Mibei Rav Lishmuel. From the yeshiva of Rav, they sent the following correspondence to Shmuel. Yilam Din Rabbeinu Lefnei Gemar Din V'kanu Miyad Omai. What if it's Lefnei Gemar Din and a kinyan was made? What would be the halacha? So I'll explain the Gemara in just a moment, but first of all, I'll read the Gemara's answer. Shalach lehu ein la'achar kinyan klum. And to that, his response is, there is nothing after a kinyan.
What did he do? He paid up before the Gemara then?
No, I'm going to explain. Okay. So ein la'achar kinyan klum, there's nothing after a kinyan. Meaning, once you have a kinyan, so that's it, everything is sealed. Okay. Now, this last point over here, first let's just give a simple and hopefully what is good pshat in the Gemara, and then we're going to discuss. The simple pshat in the Gemara is as follows. We know that there are various kinyanim, but within the realm of the Gemara, when the Gemara speaks about kinyanim without, and not in the context of a transaction per se, in the context of a transaction, but a more global universal kinyan is what we call kinyan siddur. Okay, kinyan siddur is what, right? You do this with the rav before every Pesach, right? Good. So you write the rav. You have a handkerchief. You pick it up. You put it down again, and magic. And then all of a sudden, like, ooh, we just sold our chametz. First of all, I'm sure everybody knows you did not sell your chametz. All you did is you appoint. I mean, it's important what you did, but you appointed him as your shliach so that when he sells the chametz, he will be a duly designated appointee of you to go ahead and to sell the chametz. Give me just 1 second. Let me first spell all this out. Okay, so that's what's called a kinyan siddur. And a kinyan siddur is obviously not there in the classic sense of kinyanim. The classic sense of kinyanim, right, we just had this in the daf, is that in the event that you want my iPad, because I really have no interest in having it, I need it for school, you know, because obviously I'm so technological. So if I'm going to sell you my iPad, what I have to do is, I have to give it to you. You're going to do Mashiach. Kenyan is the object in which we are bartering or selling or transacting. So you're going to take the item away from me. That's how Kenyan normally works. Kenyan Suder is not a Kenyan so much on the object per se. Kenyan Suder basically means that we are in agreement of mind. It is what we would call in the modern sense a handshake, a firm handshake. Meaning that you and I are going to be negotiating over something, and we're ratifying the deal with a firm handshake. It's basically a means of communication between buyer and seller, or people involved in the transaction, that we are serious about this, and we are now not just verbalizing, but we're making a strong commitment to this effect. That's what a kinyan is. In the context of this Gemara over here, what does the Gemara mean when it asks the question about kinyanim? A kinyan in this regard. It means as follows. We are going to have a concession in this case. In other words, we're not going to a classic traditional court made up of three impartial judges, but one of them is going to be my father. One of them is going to be your father. They're going to be cattle herders. So, like we just discussed over the course of the last 15 minutes, if it's before the Gemar Din, we can retract. Because right now, I didn't commit to anything. Look, we have a conflict. We like conflict resolution. You want your dad to sit and try to negotiate some sort of settlement between us? That's great. But before the Gemar Din, even the Chachamim would say you could back out. Okay. What about? We discussed about the difference between Etain versus Machol, meaning if they issued a ruling about the money has to stay, the money is going to stay in my pocket. Once again, that's fine, because everything is status quo. But once I have to reach into my pocket and they're telling me that I need to pay you, so then you could make an argument, the Gemara did, you can make an argument that that's something that I can retract, because who are they to tell me that I'm going to have to pay you? Okay. However, what the Gemara concludes is that if we made a kinyan, now kinyan means the following. It means that after we agreed that this person is going to be serving as one of the judges, this person meaning either my father or your father, so from this point going forward, we make a kinyan, right? In modern terms, we call it a handshake. But let's go back to the Gemara. Let's just do classic discussion. Let's say it's a kinyan siddur. From this point going forward, we've ratified that this is going to be who is going to arbitrate. It's what we would call in this country binding arbitration. Okay? We've now agreed that this is going to be it. And the Gemara concludes, the conclusion of the Gemara is, Shachle, just read the last lines of the Gemara again, Shachle, mebe rav l'shmo, yalam din rabin, lefnei Gemar din, v'kanu miyado. It's before the Gemar din, but we made a kinyan. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, my shachlu, I ain't la'achar kinyan klum. There is nothing after a kinyan, meaning a kinyan seals the deal. In this case, what sealing the deal means, that this is going to be who's judging us. Their ruling is going to be a ruling. We made a kinyan to that effect. That's it. We have to listen to everything we say. It is what we would call in our country binding arbitration.
And it's like a legitimate court.
Okay, hold it, because that's I'm going in that direction. That's exactly where I'm headed. Okay. All right, so what I'd like to do for the remaining part of today's shiur is the following. I'd like to take what we learned last week and what we chazed in the beginning of the shiur and what we just learned now, and I'd like to put the two together and see how they fit together. Okay. What did we learn last week? We learned last week that according to Tosos, if you have tartar l'reusa, if you have, as opposed to a little concession, you have a big concession. Meaning that it's going to be, we're going to have our father be the arbitrator, and not only that, he'll just be one. Right? A big concession. Tarte la reusa. So last week we learned together that the Shita Satosos is that even according to the Chachamim, you can back out. Good. Now, and what did we learn this week? So at the end of the Gemara this week, again, the Gemara threw around svaras about Etin versus Machol, and before Gemar Din and after Gemar Din, but then we learn at the end of the Daf, at the end of the Sugya, that if there's a Kinyan, that now becomes binding. What if, take last week and this week, let's put the two together. Let's say there's a Kinyan on a Tarte la Reusa. Let's say that we made a huge concession, that our father is going to be the only arbiter of our case, or your father is going to be the only arbiter of the case, and we ratified this agreement with a kinyan. Good or no good? Binding or not binding? Okay. I quote from the Chidushei Haran, who discusses this very issue. So, the Kasav HaRif, the Ran is quoting the Rif, Bishmei de Gaon, and the Rif quotes in the name of one of the Gaonim. Okay, an anonymous Gaon, but a Gaon. So, Dehecha de Kabbal a Karov Apostle Kibitrei, Afil Kanu Mine Bebezdin, Matsi Hadar Bey, Dekinyan Betausu, Derachmana Amar Apishnayim Edim. Okay. I underline the section that we're doing. Okay. So Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. The Chidushei Haran. So he writes, so again, this is the Ran quoting the Rif, quoting a Gaon. And this Gaon says that if we make a kinyan, now to be fair and honest, the Gaon is talking about a big concession, but not regarding Dayanim, regarding Edim. But the idea is basically the same idea. And the big concession is that we're going to allow one person to serve as two Edim. And we shook on it, right? We ratified it with a kinyan. So the Gaon says, the Rif quotes him, Gaon says, it's not going to work. Why not? It's a kinyan taos. What we would call mekach taos. It's a mistake. Why is it a mistake? Derachmana amar apishnaim edim. Because Torah says that when you are going to serve as witnesses, so you need two witnesses. Torah says you need two witnesses. So how can we agree? How can we make a handshake? How can we do a kinyan seder on something that the Torah does not allow, does not endorse? Torah doesn't recognize it. Think of, yeah.
Yes, it's not a taos the fact that it's a karov.
No, we know it's a karov. We know it's a karov. Huh?
Now,
again, let's think this through. What we're talking about is making concessions within the world of within the creation of a court. And according to Tosos, there's a difference between a big concession versus a little concession. Little concession is not retractable, but concessions are. That's Tosos. Right. That's what we went over last week in the beginning of today.
What?
A relative by itself is fine. A relative serving as two witnesses, when the Torah says you need two, and now it's the relative and him serving as two witnesses. Tarte la reusa, big concession. So the Rif quotes this Gaon, and this Gaon says that even if we shake hands and we make a kinyan on it, it's not binding. And the reason why it's not binding, this is where we have to start thinking now, and the reason why it's not binding is because it's a kinyan betos. Because we made a kinyan on something which is not factually true. He can't serve as a witness. And he certainly can't serve as two witnesses. Okay.
And he's willing to concede the money. He's definitely willing to concede.
Okay. Vehu hichriya. And then, perfect. And then if you read on, I'm going to read on now in the Ran. Vehu hichriya devanai aknu mina. Afagav de kabla kibitre. Lo mati hadabe. De ein la acher kinyan klum. And the Rif says, no. The Rif says is that once you make a kinyan, that you're going to accept the terms of this particular Beis Din, and even though it's a major concession, but once we agree to those terms, so that's it. We agree to those terms. And we ratified it with a kinyan. So ratification with a kinyan basically means, I'm in. I know this is not how a normal Beis Din looks. I know that's not normally how Edom look. First of all, Edom come in the form of two people, not one. Secondly, Edom come in the form of non-relatives, that's a relative. I know that. But you know what? I'm fine. I accept it. And not only do I accept it, I accept it with a kinyan. Okay, so the Rif says, you accept it with a kinyan, so that's it. You are stuck. You are happily or unhappily stuck with this. And who's to... It makes sense. You agree to it. Okay. So what I'd like to do is, I'd like to suggest once again... Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think that's the question I was asked. I think, according to the Gaon, why does it have to be a apostle of a quarrel? Why not just a regular guy, but he can accept one because you need two? Why does it go on?
So again, that goes back to the point that we saw in Tosfos, meaning the difference between Chad El Reusa and Tat El Reusa. Chad El Reusa still, there's something to be said about the Torah recognizes one aid.
It does.
Yeah, I'm not.
So you
not
say the same reasoning as a good.
But once it's Tat El Reusa, so now we're so mufka from any.
I don't understand what you need the Rif and the Gaon. Why don't you go Shmuel? I mean, you have to learn.
Okay? Yeah, a little. Yeah.
Right? It's a very clearly. Ein lacha kinya klum.
Good, and that's what the Rif. What do you mean? The Rif quotes it. The Rif. Yeah. So what's going on here? So what's going on here?
Can the Rif overrule the Gaon?
Obviously. I mean, he does. I mean,
obviously.
No, because he's doing it. Right? In other words, he quotes a Gaon, and then Vehu Ichriya. Yeah.
It's one thing to do it. It's another thing if you have legitimacy to
I mean, I'm just saying only because I see that he's doing it. I have nothing else to work with. I mean, that's, you know. Okay. And again, just in the world of Lumdus, in the world of making this a little more palatable and understandable in terms of this machlokas between the Gaon and the Rif, so I'm going to go back to the Yisod that we laid down last week, and we're going to say it again this week, and maybe this is what's at issue over here. Again, what's happening over here is that we're going to court and we're reconstructing a court. We're basically taking a court and we're fiddling with it. We're playing with it a little bit. And like we said last week, and now we're going to reiterate again, it's a question now of, to what degree do I still need it to be a habit Suras HaBezdin? Suras HaEdim, Suras HaBezdin. It still has to have some sort of form that makes it look something akin to a Bezdin. And so, to explain the Rif, I think to me that would be easy. The Rif says Ein Lacher Kinyan Klum, and again the Rif is quoting the Gemara. The Gemara says it Ein Lacher Kinyan Klum, meaning when you make a kinyan at that point in time, you're agreeing to basically any and all terms, right? What is a kinyan? A kinyan is basically saying, you know what, you and I are disputing over a monetary issue. I'm going to let him resolve it. Him could be anybody. It could be a relative. It could be one. It doesn't matter. He'll decide it. And you know what? A firm handshake. In other words, from the Rif standpoint, we are leaving the world of Beis Din. We are no longer in the world of Beis Din. We are now operating under the guise of, this is conflict resolution. We're going to have somebody arbitrate our debate between the two of us. That would be the Rif. And the Rif's understanding of the Gemara, Ein Lacher Kinyan Klum. What about the Gaon? What about the goan that was ported by the rif? So again, so it's not we don't paskin it, but at least in lumdus, what's behind it? What's behind it is that he's of the opinion that as much as we're going to fiddle with Beis Din, it still needs to look like Beis Din. It still needs to have some sort of tsura of Beis Din. Because when all is said and done, we're fiddling, but it's Beis Din. So when once it's Beis Din, and look at the lashon. The lashon is very good in terms of this havana. He says, right, O pasuk betray afilu kanaminei be Beis Din matzi hadabei the kinyan betarosu. Because it's a mistake. What does that mean, mistake? Because the Torah says you need two witnesses. And over here, it's one, it's not two. What do you mean? Even if it were two, they're relatives. So what isn't that a mistake? No, but so I think the pshat within the Gaon is that two becomes a magical number because at least now, I understand that a relative can't testify. But at least you still have a tsura of Beis Din. That's what I'm sorry. In this case, Adim, but it's the same point. At least as the tsura of Adim. Same thing with the Mishnah. When there are three, at least three has the tsura of Beis Din. At least it still has the shape and form of Beis Din. So maybe once again, this yesod of whether or not you need it to still have some sort of semblance of a Beis Din, or it's just at this point in time. It's just arbitration could very well be this machlokis between the rif and the gaon that is quoted by the rif. Good. Could be. It could very well be. But again, I think in general this helps us understand the machlokas we saw last week between Rashi and Tosfos in terms of whether or not Tart de la Rusa is retractable or not retractable. And I think it helps us this week in terms of understanding if I make a kinyan, so is that it? The Rif says yes, the Gaon says no. And again, it could very well be that all this hinges on the same machlokas of whether or not we're looking for a tsura of a Beis Din or it's just arbitration.